Blog Talk Radio.
And here we are. It is Monday. It is the fourth Monday of November. That means we have a live guest today. I am your host, Mary Brotherton, and I'm here on Manifest Monday with Michelle Hipskalkan, the Solga girl. Hi, Michelle.
Hello there. Good morning. How are you?
I am great. I'm so happy to see you, to talk with you here, and to bring your energy into this show. And you know, I think we should just continue the conversation we started before the show started. We were talking about how easy it is to actually manifest. And sometimes for me, you know, I might look back onto something 20 years ago. In fact, having a radio show, I know it was about 18 to 20 years ago, I was having a conversation with a friend. And I said, well, one day I'm going to have my own radio show and you're going to be a guest on it. And I didn't think twice about what I said. I have not always been a mindful manifester, but I've always been a manifester. So, you know, here we are almost 20 years later. She was on my show one day and she said, I remember about 20 years ago, you told me you were going to have your own show and look at you, you did. And my jaw nearly dropped to the floor.
Yeah.
Of course, manifesting can also be very instant. If you're mindful, it can be a lot quicker than if you just casually toss it out there to the universe and say, yeah, one day I'm going to do this. Because one day is not very specific to the universe. And,
correct.
And you'll get it when you get it. Fortunately, I got it when I was ready for it, not beforehand.
Yes.
And you had said sometimes you look back and go, wait a minute. When did I wish for this, or why did I wish for this? And I get that. I mean, that happens a lot, I think, in relationships.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I got married when I was 18, and I got divorced when I was in my early 40s. And at both times, I was not being very mindful. I was just going along with what other people told me I should be doing. I really and truly did not enter into my life contract knowing what I knew now. You know, if I knew then what I know now, kind of thing. But I had to learn the lessons, and I had to be prepared for the magic and the majesty of today.
Absolutely. I agree. I was kind of thinking when I said that to you, I was kind of like born into a metaphysical foundation, spiritual foundation. And so I learned at a really young age, you know, watch what you ask for because you just might get it. And so I always had fun with it. And it was like, okay, well, whatever. And they seemed to happen and I recognized them. And then sometimes, like what you were describing, I went on like an autopilot. And so I would be like, yeah, I think I like this, but not really giving it much. I mean, I would be specific, but I didn't really realize what that meant. And so then all of a sudden I would have this boyfriend or another one was a job, you know, like, okay, well, I just want to make a lot of money. But okay, that's great. I made a lot of money, but guess what? That I was not happy at that job. And so our words are very powerful. And even being present mind and present moment, it's really crucial that what we speak, we really mean.
And, you know, I also think in terms of specificity. You have to be specific. Because when you say, I want to make a lot of money, that's not very specific. How much is
correct.
A lot? You know, you have
very
to.
Very good.
And I know that there are some people who say, put a number on it. If you want a specific number, put it out there and tell the universe. And I know one woman who she says that she'll say, okay, God, I'm going to need X dollars this month because I've got an additional bill. And then all of a sudden, the money shows up.
Yes. Absolutely. And the miracle, not miracle, the beauty, let's use that word, the beauty in all of this is just like you said, it's happening whether we are openly acknowledging it or not. And the key to it, to continue to see it, is by recognizing it and giving thanks for it. And
yes.
It's just incredible how, like you said with the example of the lady, it doesn't, like, what I have found, especially with finances, is I often used to tie it to, like, okay, well, this job is going to bring me this financial reward. And
right.
What I found is that the universe is what supplies it for me, whatever form that's in. And so, you know, someone's mind could be like, well, I didn't make that $500 bonus at work, but they didn't actually put in the picture that they got this money from this settlement. And they scratched off this lottery ticket for this $50, and then they were given,
yes.
You know, just all these things that we recognize, we say, oh, the universe did provide it for me. It's just not where we're looking. So it's really good to be open to all forms of wherever it's coming from and not narrow it down to what we think it should come from.
I know a man who said that he started asking for abundance. That's all he asked for. I am abundant. I am abundant. I am abundant. And he got, I think he got three to five hats within a few moments of say, you know, well, I shouldn't say a few moments. Within a few weeks, he had an abundance of hats. He wasn't very specific. He wanted an abundance. And this is something, you know, I always think in terms of the universe as a never-ending supply of gifts. It just feels that way to me. And I receive gifts every day. I receive gifts in the most unexpected ways. And I think you have to be able to manifest the life you want, you have to be open to accepting that. Like you said, a $50 scratch-off, a quarter in the parking lot, a $10 bill in the laundry that you forgot you washed or whatever.
Yes.
This money is not the end all to be all, but it is, it's a form of transactions that we've come to rely on. And I think that we're probably turning away from that somewhat more, going back toward a bartering system.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are having to realize, oh, what have I got to give?
Yes.
And when you understand what you have to give, what your gift is to the world, that's when you can start receiving more. Because it's like the ocean. It's like the ebb and flow. The ocean comes in on the high tide and brings, I don't know, seashells, or it might bring in seaweed, or it might bring in trash. But then when the high tide goes out, it takes some of that back with it.
Right.
And I have found that in my life, I have to also respect that natural ebb and flow. And I think when people start realizing that things are just things, then, I mean, I still get things. However, I went through a major clean out last year, had a big yard sale, gave all the money to Be Unique.
I love that.
And so I kind of made it known that I am by no means a minimalist. I really am not. If you saw my desk right now, you'd be thinking, oh, she's such a clutterbug. But everything that is on within my arm reach is something that I need today to be able to do what I'm doing, except for one thing I'm looking at. But anyway, my friends all know that I do not want more chocolate. Takis. I don't want more junk.
Yeah.
So on my birthday, for Christmas or whatever, last year for my birthday, we went out, some of us from Be Unique went to Orlando, went to Lake Eola, and we were there by that beautiful statue, the muse in the park. And we were doing a photo shoot there. And so,
how fun.
Oh, it was. It was so much fun. Let me ask you, Michelle, do you get our newsletter?
I get it electronically.
Yes, once a month.
Yes.
Because a lot of people's newsletter is in their spam folder. And I'm trying to one person at a time ask to make sure that people are getting it, because that's where we put things now, like, hey, we're going to be doing a photo shoot in Orlando, or we're going to be doing a photo shoot in Cocoa Beach, so that people who are available can join us for more activities.
How often does it come? Because I don't think I've seen one in a little while.
It comes monthly. We did one in November. We skipped October. We were just so busy with
them.
Check your spam folder. It should be coming from connect@beunique. And I will double check to make sure you're actually on the list, because you know what? Who knows? I'm going to write this down because I can't write and talk at the same time. But I'm pretty sure. Oh, I can barely breathe and talk at the same time, but thank goodness. Both of those are like, what do you call them? Involuntary actions, talking and breathing. But my point is, I started, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago. I was getting back to the photo shoot. It happened to be on my birthday. So afterwards we all went out to lunch and Jennifer gave me a little bag with a birthday gift in it. And as soon as she handed me the bag, my insides were like, oh, and more stuff, you know. But it was a journal. It was a blank journal for me to write in, because she knows I write in a manifest journal and a gratitude journal. So she gave me a very thoughtful gift, because she'd heard how I'm trying to eliminate the cluttery stuff. Anyway, I'm going back and forth, but prior to that, I had written in my manifest journal that more people who follow Be Unique, I call you all Be Uniquers. And, you know, I wanted to manifest more involvement from more people. And this probably came about the time that you and Jennifer and Lynn and Kathy met over in Apopka at an event.
Uh-huh.
And they found out that, oh, we don't know everybody. and it's hard because we are in so many different locations. Be Unique spans, this show is heard in 77 countries.
And we have
writers in about 25 to 30 countries. I have to go back and do the math and see how many we actually have. But even here in Florida, we're all over. I mean, Apopka, Orlando, Davenport, Merritt Island, over on the West Coast. I can't remember, something in the hill, something. Not Howie in the hill, but there's some other hill name in their name of their town. But anyway, the point is, I had manifested that we would be able to have more people involved in more events. And so recently we did, we had a 3-day weekend at an event called the Native Rhythm Festival. Really a lot of fun, really a lot of work, 12-hour days plus commuting an hour both ways. So it was a long, long weekend. And Jennifer had oral surgery scheduled. It was just like an emergency thing. And she said, I can't be with you. And because I know the power of manifesting, I said, don't worry about it. She was all upset because she felt she was leaving me in the lurch. I said, don't worry about it. I'm going to manifest all the help I need. And I wrote in my book, Be Unique has all the help it needs for the Native Rhythms Festival. And as soon as I wrote it, I had this inspiration to send out a text to everybody that I knew was localish. I tried to make sure nobody would be driving any farther than I would be driving. I figured an hour is far enough. So I reached out to a few people in Orlando area. I couldn't remember where you were from, so I didn't reach out to you. But I reached out to about six people, and I'd say four of them showed up. And I only wanted help setting up the tent. That's all I want. I said, I just need an extra pair of hands to help me set up the tent. It can be done by one person. It's easier and faster if you have four, one person on each leg.
Yeah, of course.
So three other people plus myself showed up, and we got the tent set up. It was a little tricky because we did it backwards the first time, but we worked it out. And around 3 o'clock, two of the people just popped back in to check on me because they knew I was alone. And they brought me food, they brought me water, gave me a bathroom break. It was absolutely delightful. And even my stepson showed up spontaneously. He was just there.
Wow.
And that's very rare for him. So I definitely got all the help I needed. Then Jennifer's surgery was canceled because of some complication, or I think she actually had healed faster than they expected. So she was able to join me the rest of, that was Saturday and Sunday. I'm like, well, I'm digging this. I like the way this manifesting thing works.
Yes.
And don't you find that it basically boils down to believing that you deserve it and knowing that it's on its way to you before you actually make the statement?
Absolutely. It's a lot of mindset that goes along with being able to recognize the demonstrations and the manifestations that happen. It goes a lot to tuning inward first before we tune outward. And a lot of it is deserving it, affirming your place of existence, and that you are important, you are enough. And then when you believe that, you start, it never happens at that time. Your manifestations are happening all the time. And then once you finally become aware and present to it, like present moment, like, oh my gosh, this is happening, you just happen to notice it. It's been going on the whole time. So I think a lot of it has to do with, like you said, being knowing that you deserve that. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it boils down to being mindful. And I think, I know that I am mindful now, but not completely, not entirely. I mean, there are times that I'll say something, and as soon as the words come out, I'm like, oh, my filter broke. Why did I say that to you? And fortunately, most people look at me and laugh because they know to expect I'm going to do something that you just don't know what to expect with me. But everybody knows that I come from a place of love and peace. And so there's no malintent. But that doesn't mean that I'm being mindful. I can be as sweet and lovely as Mother Teresa. But if I'm not being mindful,
correct,
then sometimes things don't come out the way they're supposed to.
I 1,000% agree with you. I think we're all, continually trying to, we're all a work in progress where we might be like really good one day. And then sometimes, whatever life is going on and we're humans, and then we go, oh man, like what did I say? What did I do today? And it's just catching yourself and, if you've got to apologize, you apologize or whatever, and then you give thanks for that experience. I think a lot, I stress a lot, especially now with this month being November, is the gratitude part. Even recognizing that when you did have one of those days that you were off, giving thanks for that, because now you know what that felt like, there can always be gratitude in everything that feels unfortunate. And so by recognizing that, then you're able to move on and say, okay, I'm human. Not like flippant, but like just saying, giving yourself grace to move on through it. And then
acceptance.
You start over again. Acceptance, yes.
So let me ask you, when you make up your mind that you want to manifest something, what does that sound like, feel like, or look like to you?
So I think the process that I am doing currently, I journal on it first. I like that you said you got the manifestation journal. That's really cool. And I like to see the feeling of it, because when I think I want to ask for something, I want to go back to what is the feeling I feel when I'm thinking I'm going to get that. So I kind of work through some of that, and then I go in and, okay, let's say, let's use a car. I mean, I love my car. I don't want a car. So like, this is just an example. You say, okay, well, I want a XYZ, and you go, okay, well, why do you want that particular car? What does that feel like? Like, what is it representing something to you? Is it status? Is it what? You know, blah, blah, blah. So then you like figure all that out, and then you say, okay, well, now that I've pictured that, I need to fine tune it a little. I want to have this particular thing with it and that particular thing, but I don't mind that. I don't mind this and whatever. And then it's kind of like your negotiables, like, is it that important? Maybe, maybe not. I'll use my car right now, for example. I really wanted to have a Jeep Renegade. I wanted it to be stick shift, and I wanted to have the two double sunroof. And when I went to go find that car, it was almost nearly impossible to find it as a stick shift because everybody had automatics. And I was like, well, and I really didn't want the color black, but okay, that's negotiable. But I non-negotiable was the stick shift. So I stood pretty okay with it. Like, I really want to do this. And I just imagined myself driving it. I saw what they looked like. I test drove it. And then, I wanted it brand new. And then that wasn't non-negotiable. That was like, okay, but I still want it new. Anyway, what demonstrated for me was my perfect vehicle with the stick shift that I wanted. It was only a year old, but there was only 3,000 miles on it. So I didn't lose all that depreciation when I drove it off the lot. It was divinely orchestrated. So the steps I took to get there were journal first, find out what it felt like, what I would accept, what I wouldn't accept, kind of almost like you just imagine yourself doing it, and then it happened. Did I answer the question, or did I just go in a ramble?
Yes. No, you did perfect. And that's a lot like my manifesting. I'm very, when we bought a house, we lived, Curtis and I were married for many years. We were, I guess it was almost 15 years before we bought a house. We rambled around.
Okay.
We rented, and it was beautiful because when we were planning to buy a house probably 10 years ago, we couldn't agree at all. And I think this is the magic of the universe. The reason we couldn't agree was because if we'd had a home, a house that we owned, we wouldn't have been as free to make the decisions that we made, which included going back to South Carolina to live with my mother until the end of her life here on Earth. After she passed away, we moved back to Florida, and not long after, we found the house that we'd both been looking for. And we had we sat down together. We made a list of the gotta haves, the nice to haves, and the I don't wants. And
okay, I like that.
One of the things that I put on my list was I want the previous owners. We knew we were going to buy a pre-owned house. We weren't building.
Yeah.
I said I want the previous owners to have been in love with themselves, with each other. And they were.
Okay, so you have that energy there.
I wanted the energy of being in love. And I'll be honest with you, it has made a difference in our relationship, among other things.
Oh, I believe you, totally.
One day I woke up, now here's a total manifesting, woke up and I heard the word Tyco. And I had never heard that word before. I mean, I don't know, it just popped into my head. And I instantly knew how to spell it, T-A-I-K-O. I Googled it, and it was a drum. It's a Taiko is a Japanese word for drum. And okay. I thought, I've got to check this out. What's going on? Why am I hearing, you know, these Japanese? I don't speak Japanese. I don't know anybody who speaks Japanese. So, well, yeah. I do know one person. But anyway, I started researching, and I found some videos of people doing these drums. And, it's a total entertainment thing, all percussion, maybe a little bit of flute, but it's mostly percussion, and it's phenomenal. And it got to where it was in my heart and in my soul, and I kept manifesting, I'm going to have a drum. In fact, I was so crazy that I went out one day with my recycling, and I had two beer bottles in my hand, and I used them on the recycling can to drum because I needed this sense of drumming. Well, at the Native Rhythms Festival, Jennifer and I were there, and I was part of my job when we go to these things is to scout for stories. So I walked around, introduced myself, and told them about Be Unique. And then I said, I'd like to know a little bit more about you. May I have your website, business card, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, there were Native American drums all over the place, and they were expensive.
Yeah.
Not as expensive as these Japanese drums that I thought I needed, but it's kind of like when you wake up one day and you think, I don't want eggs for breakfast. I want a piece of chocolate cake. You know, you just want something different. But I saw all these drums, and I didn't say a word to Jennifer about my, I think she knows that I've been manifesting a drum for a while. But that day, we didn't talk about it. So the last day of the event, she said, Mary, I know I'm vegan, and I know these drums aren't, but I really want one of these drums. I said, well, they're made with animal leather, so I can't help you with that. I said, unless you find a synthetic drum somewhere. She said, but I want one of these. But I don't want to pay more than $50 for one. And I said, you know, that's about how much I'd want to pay for one, too. I wouldn't want to pay any more than that. Mm-hmm. So after we had this conversation, I said, well, there's still a few more, people that I want to look into and see if they're have story worthy. And so as I went to this one booth, he had these three or four different sized drums up there. And I just asked him, I said, how much would it cost if I bought two drums from you?
Yeah.
And he said, well, which two do you want? I said, well, I wanted two that looked like that one, but you only have one. I said, and I really didn't want to pay more than $50 per drum. So he pulled down two drums, and he said, not only can you get it for the amount you want, I'll throw in the drumsticks at no charge. And so I have my drum.
I love that.
And it's everything I ever wanted. It's not the drum I thought I wanted, but it feels like the drum that I need. Because it's small, it's portable, and I can... and I found out that I don't need to bang on a drum. I just need to gently play on this drum. And that's a lesson for me about the gentleness of life.
Yes. There's something, I don't want to interrupt your story, but because it's so timely with what you're saying, and you have a great big nugget of wisdom, and it was not, okay, so when we are manifesting things and we are putting things out into the universe, setting our intention, it is crucial that we add on to it this or something better. And that's exactly what happened for you, because a lot of times what we see as what we want, and if we stay open and say this or something better, because just innately the universe is going to know what's better for us than we do sometimes. And we stay open to that, and just exactly what you did, and you received the perfect thing for you, that is crucial. And I'm so happy that you said it that way, because that's one of the things that when people are trying to manifest, because it didn't look like what they thought it should, it's almost like, well, I didn't get what I wanted. But what they didn't realize is that what they wanted wasn't the best. So the universe, God, spirit, whatever someone says, provided for them their highest and best good of things we could have never imagined. And so it's crucial to stay open and aware that what we are receiving is what we actually need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, so much of my life has, I mean, I've had people tell me that, Mary, you're magical. And mm-hmm. I feel like I live a charmed life because I am open to receive whatever is for my best good. And yeah. I know that I don't always know what that is. And I find that when I'm writing in my manifest journal, sometimes I'll write a statement and I'll read it out loud and I'll say, nope, that's not right. Either because I might have negative language in there that's disguised yes. as positive, and that happens so
yeah.
easy. But
yes.
sometimes, a lot of times, and this is something also to be, I think, mindful of, I say that I'm married to my best husband. He's my best friend, and he's my husband, and he's so much different from the first husband. But if I want to change anything about him, I can't do that. He has his own free will. He can
yeah.
choose what he's going to do. So what I found works for me whenever I have any issue with him or anybody is not to say, oh, I want him to do this differently. What I do is I start finding all these amazing things that he does already. And
yes.
I start reminding the universe, I am so grateful that Curtis remembers to carry out the recycling every Thursday night.
Yes.
It doesn't
yes.
matter that he forgets on Tuesday and Friday that we have garbage that goes out, but he remembers the recycling. And after a while of reciting this, and it kind of like a mantra, I'm grateful that he carries out the recycling. Guess who started carrying out the garbage without me asking him? And it used
yep.
to be
Amen.
Whoever was available, you know, it's not like we have male and female roles in our house per se.
Yeah.
We have a
yeah.
few. But it's not that we have roles based on our gender, but it's roles based on our skills. He's
yeah.
much better at car mechanics than I am. So I don't even try to change the oil in the car. I could if I wanted to. It might take me
yeah.
45
yeah.
days to get it done, but I'd
yeah.
get it done. He gets
yes.
it done in 45 minutes.
Correct.
And I know that if I tried to get him to stack the dishes in the dishwasher, it would take forever because he would
yes.
have to do it so precisely. I just throw him in there willy-nilly and hope for the best.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
okay. It works. We had a conversation this morning about whether or not we should make our bed. And I told him, I said, you know, I don't care. And a lot of people, so that's a big deal. The bed needs to be made first thing in the morning.
Uh-huh.
I am not a bed maker. I never have been. I'm not sure why. I think I'm just lazy. I could give you 1,000 reasons probably why I don't. But
yeah,
we have a leather couch and we have a cat. And
mm-hmm.
when the cat came to live with us, the first thing we did was start covering this couch with quilts
yes.
or blankets or whatever.
Yep.
Because we don't want the cat to ruin the couch when he jumps up. We don't mind him jumping up, but he's not going to
yeah.
jump up and claw the leather. So
yeah.
today
yep.
we were having this conversation about making the bed. And I told him, I said, you know, I don't care. Because part of it's because he and I have different sleep schedules. And for me
yes.
to make my bed while he's still sleeping, I think would just be rude. You know, I could make my side of the bed, but he's still in bed. Or
yeah, no.
You know, it's just easier to just let it go. And I could go back after lunchtime and make it, but by then I'm probably going to be ready for a nap. So I don't bother with the bed.
Pack it up, yeah.
You know, it's part of the compromise. But I want
yeah.
that couch. I want that cover on the couch. Not only
yes.
to just... I want it to look like it's part of the couch. I want it to look like it's made and it's, you know, not all crumpled up. And he was just laughing at me. He said, "Why do you do this every morning?" I said, "Because you go to bed after I do and you leave the couch in a rumpled state every night. So when I get up the next morning, I make the couch." He says, "Oh, because I used to make the bed every day." And it was, he just laughed. He thought it was funny. But anyway, that's part of the manifesting is you change how you perceive someone when you're working in a relationship. And I think a lot of people like to talk about manifesting the perfect relationship. Well, the way to have a perfect relationship, I think, is to be willing to accept whatever you get be grateful for the little things.
Yep. I was going to say, you brought in there again. It's almost like we had rehearsed this ahead of time, and we really didn't, but we know divinely we did.
Yes.
But again, earlier I said something about recognizing the gratitude. And so the average person can look at their partner and say, "Rah, rah, rah, you didn't take out the garbage, rah, rah," whatever. But you decided to say, "I'm giving thanks. I'm recognizing this moment. I'm giving thanks for the positive things that do happen. Therefore, because you recognize that, guess what? The universe only knows to give you more of those things that you're thankful for."
Exactly. So
gratitude doesn't necessarily mean, and this is where things have kind of come up for me. Someone will make the comment, "Oh, Michelle, we can't all be as happy as you." No. I have bad days. I get grumpy. I'm upside down. But the thing is that I don't choose, when I'm in a bad mood, I don't choose to center my energy around that bad part, because that's all I'm going to experience if that's what I'm focusing on. So gratitude, being grateful in all things, does not mean you're living a fake life. It just means you're shifting the energy to the one small thing, if there is, you know, like it could be a big thing, but you're shifting it so away from the negative to the positive. That's what living in gratitude is about. And manifestation.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And I think people, they misunderstand what gratitude actually means. It doesn't mean that you have to be joyful, cheerful, dancing. And, you know, it's not always a Disney movie. Life isn't.
Yeah.
But
right.
If you look at those Disney movies, you see that these little cartoon princesses are grateful for what they have. Snow
Correct.
White, even though she had been put to sleep and she was now living with dwarves, she found something beautiful in everyone. Cinderella always found something beautiful in her life.
Yes.
I tend to... And it hasn't happened in a long time. I've had a gratitude transformation. I used to, many years ago, I'd go to bed and I would pray the prayers I'd been taught as a child. And as I grew into my own spirituality instead of my mother's, I prayed differently. And I prayed more of in a conversational way. And sometimes I get feedback on these prayers of mine. Not often, but it still gave me great sense of peace to be able to not, you know, sit there with the rosary beads and say the same prayer over and over again. So as I've grown and grown and grown, I realized I needed to be more grateful. And especially at night when my mind won't shut down, and which happens occasionally, not so much as it used to, but there were times I just couldn't shut down my brain. I'd go to bed and I'd think, I can't go to sleep. I've got too much to do. What am I going to do? So I'd do my tomorrow I'm going to do list. Well, that just made it crazier, because then I wanted to get up and go do these things, even though I was exhausted. So one night I was having a health issue, and it my skin, I have had psoriasis, and my skin was really dry and painful. And then as I'm going to bed, feeling sorry for myself, I realized how grateful I am that my skin is not burned off my body and I'm not scarred. You know, I haven't been in a fire. And I was born with beautiful skin. You know, most of my life, my father called me peaches and cream because of my skin. And then here I am with, you know, all this ugly, old, dry skin. But I still had fingers. I had toes. I had elbows. I had all these body parts that other people have not been blessed with. So that started me on a journey of going to bed at night, reciting my gratitudes. You know, I just, a lot of people say count your blessings. And that's basically what these were, but this was deeper than a blessing, but yet, I don't know, maybe not any deeper, but I'd go to bed some nights, and especially if I'd made the bed with fresh sheets, that first night in a fresh sheet is like, oh, I'm so grateful to have fresh, clean sheets on my bed. I'm grateful to have a bed to put sheets on. I don't sleep on the floor. I have a pillow. That's not just my arm. I'm not sleeping out under the stars in a cardboard box. So it goes on and on and on. And I kept thinking of all these wonderful things that I have in my life that other people don't have. And this went on for months, maybe a year or so. Every night, I'd look forward to going to bed so I could recite what I'm grateful for. And one night I heard a voice as clear as yours. Mary, I know you're grateful. Oh, gosh. I know you're grateful. You tell me all the time how grateful you are. Could you just be quiet and be with me? I'm like, oh. Well, hello, God. Nice to hear from you. Yes, I can do that. And then I went into manic mode. Wait a minute. God just spoke to me. Oh, God just spoke to me. Ah, I heard the voice of God. Oh, this is great. He just wants me to exist. All I have to do is be I am. I am. I can do this. Do I sit up? Do I lie down? Do I get dressed? Do I put on my shoes? Do I put, you know, do I put on pants? And he laughed just so like you're laughing. And he said, Mary,
be quiet.
Just be. Yeah, he did. He said, be quiet, but just be with me. And then he asked me this most important question. He said, when your mother was alive, did you need to speak every moment that you were with her? I'm like, no.
No.
He said, when you're with your grandson, do you need to be having a conversation every minute you're together? No.
No.
When you're with your husband or your cat, can you just sit quietly and enjoy their company? Well, yes, I can. But how do I do that? He said, the same way you do with them. I want you to do that with me. Just be with me. Michelle, I slept better that night than I have probably since I was 2 years old. And
that's powerful.
I try to get back to that. I don't get back to it often. Because my mind is crazy. But it's that's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
so let me ask you.
I
wanted to make sure that we spend a little time talking about what you do with Ula.
Oh, I made a joke the other day because, you know, my company is Solga. And I life coach on the principles of Ula. I'm like, can I get any more trendy right now with the, you know, cute little words or whatever? But I really didn't plan it. I started Solga as yoga for the body and the soul. And the part about yoga that I really liked was the connection with the people and the meditation and like just seeing someone go from being stressed to relaxed. I didn't so much care about, okay, well, you have to do this pose the right way and whatever. So when I had the opportunity, when this, it was all divinely orchestrated, but anyway, when the opportunity came up for ULA coaching, I said, wow, okay, well, yeah, because I never one time looked up for a life coach, never researched life coaching, and then I got an email one day that was like, oh, you want to be a life coach? And I'm like, no, do I? Like, just whatever. So I pretty much took from the yoga part of it was now I was becoming a life coach. So I just kept the name Solga because I really liked it, and I speak a lot from the soul. But basically, you know, I said I was brought up in a metaphysical framework, like a science of mind kind of framework for my spirituality since I was born. And so I had been gifted a book, was the ULA for Women book. And they had the framework. It's very simple. It's not anything complicated, but it's a consistent way of living your life where they focus a lot. Like their slogan is be grateful, have faith, and live ULA or go get your ULA life. And it really clicked because a lot of the times where I have been in unfortunate feeling situations, I ended up on the other side with being blessed tenfold, if not a hundredfold. And
oh, wow.
So when I found this framework, I was like, okay, like this speaks to me. And I had already been practicing this because I was gifted the book. And so when the opportunity came to be the life coach, I said, I was meant to do this. I was born to do this. All my jobs I've ever had, I've had probably four careers because now I'm in my 40s and each one lasted about 10 years. And or my degree in communications, every single thing I've gone through brought me to be a life coach right now. Every divorce, well, I've only had one, but, you know, every heartbreak, every bankruptcy, every foreclosure, at one point I had a hard time admitting this, but there was one time that I thought me taking my life would be better for the people around me. And
oh, wow.
It was an eye-opener because anyone who's ever known me has always been like, oh, you're so peppy and you're so cheery. And I, in my brain, had gone to such a low place that I thought the kids would be better off without me. And anyway, I'm very thankful that I don't have those feelings anymore, but it made me to be a life coach because when you're a life coach, it's not a therapist, so you're not trying to dig into someone's past and trying to, you know, use a certain set of guidelines or whatever, which I love therapists, so I don't at all want to discount them. But a life coach really is someone who listens because people know what they want in their life, and I listen, and then I use this framework to help them get toward what they really want to go for. And I can't say it enough. Like, living an ULA life is something I've done all my life. I just didn't know the words to it. And the main thing that drew me toward the life coaching that I'm in, the program, because there's a lot of life coaching programs, is that one of the key areas that they focus on is a faith. And while ULA doesn't say you have to have a specific faith, they say in able for all of this to work, you have to believe in something. And that clicked with me because everybody, no matter what church they came from, what religion, however they were brought up, there is an inner knowledge of one presence that guides each and every person. And so when they just had faith generically, I fit right in because me growing up in a non-fundamentalist church, a lot of times my friends or my friends' parents when I was growing up was like, you don't believe in Jesus Christ? Oh, you don't like God? And it was all these judgments that I'm like, I just know what I know. And they just didn't give it a chance. So when this was so open, I really felt like it was the perfect fit for me. And I give thanks every single day. Like I can't believe that I found, I never knew it was this good because I always thought I had a good life before. And then it happened. And I'm so, so grateful.
That's really cool. Now, do you have a website?
I do. My website is Solga, S-O-U-L-G-A, SolgaLifeCoach.com. And any of the social media like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, it's all Solga Life Coach. And it just incorporates everything that I've ever done throughout my life. I do meditations, I do affirmations. In fact, on Mondays, I do the Monday midday meditation, and I just take requests from people who want a specific area talked about. In this case, we have the gratitude, like November All Month All Gratitude. So I did a gratitude list from A to Z of words that meant, you know, like affirmations, like I am powerful or I am abundant, I am financially abundant, whatever. And I do a lot of that, so I'm a little different life coach than probably some of the others that are in the program, just because I'm so grounded in my spirituality and just, you know, the Unexpected Good program and the demonstrations and the manifestations and the law of attraction and just all those things I was brought up on. And so I only know that, but I know that it works, and so I can stand. And typically it doesn't offend anyone. Sometimes religion can offend people where it's like, well, you think yours is the supreme or whatever. But when you just have a spirituality and you know that there's a supreme, like one being, one force, it doesn't really step on anyone's toes, because that's
right.
The basis of all resistance. So
I call him God.
I don't know. I get mixed.
I call God Gus because it stands for God, Universe, Spirit, and Source.
Ooh, I like it. That's excellent. That is an excellent acronym. See, now I can add another one. SOGA with ULA and GUS.
Yeah.
I'm so corny sometimes.
Corny is fun, though.
It is fun. I call myself a dork. I don't mind being a dork. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, my husband last night called himself a geek, and I'm like, really? You call yourself a geek? He said, yeah, I'm not a nerd, but I'm a geek. I'm like, well, all righty then.
You're cute. Yeah. I mean, I don't mind being a geek, because I was 10 years I was in the IT field working on people's computers doing help desk. So I'm a geek sometimes. I'm a nerd sometimes. I'm a dork sometimes. But it's like, if we can't be light and try to realize that life isn't so hard and it's not always a down and judgment kind of thing, then it tends to go a little smoother and, you know, kind of smooth sailing, just be lighthearted.
Absolutely. I 100% agree.
I do want to add that we must be the same person about the couch, because we bought a new couch, I don't want to say about a year ago, and we don't have cats, but I do have two dogs, and I'm very particular. I mean, we probably have 5 sheets, like, the way that they're kind of laid, so that way, because it's like a U-shaped, so the dogs can get on one end, and it's like a chaise lounge on the other or whatever. And my boyfriend will be down watching TV at night, and he'll leave it kind of crumpled, and every morning I'll get up and I'll make sure that it's all, because I don't want the dogs ruining this piece of furniture. I don't mind if they're out there, but they have slobber, and they have dirty paws, and I don't want our couches like that. And he'll laugh at me like, Michelle, why do you do that? I'm like, honey, because I'm trying to protect these. So, like, me making the bed is me making the couch. I mean, I couldn't stop laughing when you said that, because it was so relatable.
Well, you know what I did is I went to Overstock.com, and I bought some quilts. They're very thin. They're not expensive at all, and they're not high quality, but they're washable. So if the cat accidentally – he's old. He's 18, so if he gets sick or something, I can just – throw it in the washing machine and not worry about it. And I have enough so that I always have one set of clean sheet comforters or blankets or whatever they call quilts. One for the couch and one for a big one for the couch and a smaller one for the armchair.
That's a great idea. Yeah, because I don't have the extra spare.
And see, the beautiful thing is, you can change out your colors this way. If you want to, you know, if you don't want to settle on one color, you can change out your color. So I just went and bought 4 of them is what I did. And I figured that way I could change out the colors, or and 2 of them actually came with shams, which at first I thought I'll never use these, but I'm so grateful because I put some small pillows in them and I used them on the armrest because the quilts exactly cover.
Yeah.
Or they might cover, but they get scrunched down. And this way it's up on the armrest and it keeps the cat from messing things up too much.
I'm going to email you a picture of my couch with that on.
Okay, awesome. I don't want to say goodbye, but I have to. It's time to go. It's almost 12 o'clock.
Yes.
And but I need to have you come back on the show again sometime. I'll check my calendar. I'll let you know what my couple of dates are that we can do this again, because you're so much fun to talk with.
I think the same thing about you. I totally adore you.
Oh, thank you. And this concludes today's Mutual Admiration Society meeting.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a little pre-recorded exit that I'm going to play, and I'm going to say goodbye to you.
All right. And goodbye for now.
Goodbye for now, and hopefully we can meet up in person at some point in the near future.
I agree.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Well, thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very
welcome. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Be Unique's Manifest Monday Show. I hope you'll follow Be Unique on Blog Talk Radio so you can be informed every time a new episode drops. I'm here every Monday at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time when we talk about manifesting and how you can become a manifest master too. Until next time, this is Mary saying so long.